by the cross, 837. Our service tonight will be divine service, setting number 4, page 203 and following. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for your cross, especially your death upon it, that your blood was shed there, that your life was given up into death upon that altar, the altar of the cross, that there you paid the price for our sin. We thank you, O Lord, that you have turned this symbol of torture and death into the very instrument of victory. Victory over all of your foes, victory over our foes, so that we truly can lift high the cross as the instrument of our salvation. It is in your powerful and precious name that we worship and pray. Amen. Opening hymn 837. 837.
Divine Service Setting 4, page 203. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we rock you.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro for the day as you find it in the front of your bulletin insert.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross, that he might bear the sins of the world and draw all people to himself. Grant that we who glory in his death for our redemption may faithfully heed his call to bear the cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for our scripture readings. Cross day is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Or, they set out by the way into the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak together the gradual for the days you find in the front of your bulletin insert. Behold, I will lift up my hands to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples, says the Lord. So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes him may have eternal life. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debtor of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as for the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, lest a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it. I will glorify it again. The crowds that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as found on page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all hours, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not of me, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 454, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. Please be seated.
unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This text that will serve for the basis for the sermon today is from our Gospel reading. Please be seated. In 2014, Odell Beckham Jr., a wide receiver for the New York Giants, caught what has been considered to be one of the greatest catches of all time. During a game that year, he reached almost impossibly far behind his back to make a one-handed catch for a touchdown. It was an amazing play. And even still today, 3 years later, you can see the play reran while watching NFL games after church on Sundays. Now, you may have seen this play, you may not have, but all of us here can think of a time when we've seen an athlete do something amazing on the field. And it is in those moments on the field, that is where the true glory of the athlete lies. All the glory that comes after, the money, the fames, the fans, all of that is glory that is the result of the glory the athlete wins on the field. Today in our text, Jesus told the crowd, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The hour has come. It was now Holy Week, and Jesus was now just days away from the cross. He had just ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey, was now days away from his suffering and his death. He was days away from suffering the wrath of God. He was now just days away from doing battle with the devil and this world. Days away from his death on the cross. This is the hour Jesus is speaking of. And the way Jesus describes such an hour is as the hour in which He will be glorified. I don't know about you, but such an hour doesn't sound very glorious at all. In fact, it sounds exactly like the opposite. And for the people of Jesus' day, this was especially true. For during Jesus' day, and like today, the cross was a symbol of shame. And shame. Shame's a concept that we today aren't very familiar with anymore. Merriam-Webster defines shame as a painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt, shortcoming, or impropriety, and also as a condition of humiliating disgrace and disrepute. Consciousness of guilt. It's not surprising we don't understand shame very well anymore, because we live in a world today that's doing everything it can to remove any consciousness of guilt, any idea of shame. In fact, in our world today, that which ought to be and is shameful is glorified. Homosexuality, abortion, adultery, assisted suicide, euthanasia, all these things today are glorified by our world. And our world actively glorifies these things. Our world holds rallies, gives speeches, holds parades, all to glorify such acts and those who do such acts. Turns out our world only has about one use left for shame, if any, and that's only for those who speak out against such acts, for those who say such acts are wrong. For those people, the world has only persecution and hatred. The world maybe doesn't understand shame very well, but even we as Christians often don't understand shame as well as we should. Jesus said today in our text, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." How often are we not in love with our life in this world? How often do we not prefer the glory of this world rather than the glory of Christ? How often are we not enticed by the world and its prince, the devil, to fall into sin and shame, to enjoy the fruit of sin? How often do we not fall into sin and feel no shame? How often we fall into sin and in fact tell ourselves that we shouldn't feel shame and that shame is a bad thing. Shame. It's not a bad thing, but is in fact a necessary thing. For remember, shame is defined as a consciousness of guilt. And we are to be conscious of our guilt. Guilt we are made conscious of through God and His Word. God and His holy law. For God and His law shows us the truth about the glory of this world. The glory of this world isn't glory at all. It is in fact sin and shame. And that's why we're told to hate our life in this world. While we live in this world, we constantly again and again fall into temptation by the prince of this world, the devil, and we fall again and again into sin and to shame. And we know what the wages of sin are. The wages of sin are death. The wage of sin is the wrath of God. Wrath that is so great that even Jesus, the Son of God, trembled and was troubled at the thought of having to face such wrath. And face such wrath, He did. Jesus knew our sin. He knew our shame. And He knew that we, neither we nor the law, could do anything about it. And that's why Jesus came to earth. That's why Jesus took upon Himself human flesh. That's why Jesus set His face to Jerusalem. That's why Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And why Jesus came to this hour, the hour where He would suffer and die on the cross, where He would suffer the shame our sins deserved. And He suffered that shame. He suffered that shame with every gash, with every insult, with every nail, with every desperate gasp for breath, until Jesus had no breath left. This, Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, this is the true glory of God. This is the glory of Jesus. For Jesus, as the Son of God, has been eternally glorified with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But on the cross, the true glory of Jesus is fully revealed. The cross was the moment of battle, where Jesus did battle with all of our enemies, sin, death, and the devil. The glory that would come after, the glory of the resurrection and the ascension, that is glory that flow from Jesus' victory. Jesus' victory on the cross. And because of Jesus and His death on the cross, we who have been driven away from God by our sin and shame have been drawn back to Him. Jesus said in our text for today, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus, the grain of wheat, came down to earth and died on the cross. And because of that, He does not remain alone, but He bears much fruit. Through the glory of Jesus on the cross and the glory of His resurrection from the dead, Jesus now draws all people to Himself. Especially, He draws people now through His church. For after the resurrection from the dead, Jesus established His church on earth, which now through means of word and sacrament proclaim to you and to all the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ and His victory over our sin and over our shame. Jesus Christ and His cross, which forgives you of all your sin. And this, dear friends, this is our glory. This is the glory of the Christian as well. The glory of the Christian is to have our sins forgiven and to be made righteous before God. The glory of the Christian does not always mean that we will be saved from all suffering. Jesus also said today in our text, "If anyone serves Me, he must follow Me. And where I am, there will My servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. We are called now to serve and to follow Jesus. We serve Jesus now by showing the love that Christ continually shows to us every day to each other. And we follow Jesus. And to follow Jesus often means to suffer. And we face all kinds of sufferings in this world. We face sufferings in all kinds of crises, like the crises of natural disasters, just like our brothers and sisters in Christ in Houston and Florida just experienced. We suffer marital problems, family issues and crises, problems at the bank, problems of health. And when we're in the midst of such sufferings, we always cry out to God. We cry out to God, God, where are you? And God answers. God says to us, where I am, there will my servant be also. You are my servant. In your baptism, I washed you of your sin and your shame, and I clothed you with my glory. I am with you in your suffering, and I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. No suffering you face in this world can ever take away my glory which I have given to you. Glory that doesn't just last for this life, glory that lasts even for eternal life. For on that last day, that glory will be truly and fully revealed, and my Father will honor you and will give to you life everlasting. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord. Amen.
Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service that they may show your praise in our land and in all the world. We especially praise you this day for the gift of a son, Gabriel, to Jonathan and Sarah Bliss, Good Shepherd members. We pray, O Lord, that you would keep mother and child safe and bring Gabriel, to the waters of holy baptism here at Good Shepherd on the 24th. Lord, in your mercy, let your blessing remain upon the seed time and harvest, the commerce and industry, the leisure and rest, the arts and culture of our people. Take under your special protection those whose work is difficult or dangerous. And be with all who put their hands to any useful task. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially Larry, Greg, Martha, all who mourn, especially the family of Betty, the family of Emma. and all who are affected by natural disasters in our country. Those affected by the hurricanes in Texas and Florida, and then moving up into Georgia and the South, and all those affected by the fires in our West. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to all those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of Your love, taking them into Your tender care. Lord, in Your mercy, all these things and whatever else You know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of Him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore.
Amen.
You may be seated. This time we ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please pass it along and sign in, guests or visitors. We're glad to have you with us this night. We ask that you would give us your contact information so that we can acknowledge your presence with us this night. This time also we receive, out of the bounty that God has gifted us with, our gifts and offerings. Found on page 208, we stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings You so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for Your boundless love shown to us when You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on Him our sin, giving Him into death that we might not die eternally. Because He is now risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in Him will overcome sin and death, and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Thank you.
Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and have given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love through one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our closing hymn, 422. 422. The celebration, the festival of the Holy Cross, as we fix our eyes upon the instrument of salvation, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple of announcements moving forward through the rest of the week. Bible study right after class. Thank you, Vicar, for the word this evening, and he'll be teaching Bible class in the fellowship hall immediately after the service. And then tomorrow, Life Light, continuing the study of the book of Hebrews. That will be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I believe, I'm trying to think if there's any other special announcement. Yes, you reminded me of that before, Pastor Russer. Yes, choir practice after service tonight. So that's also tonight. Sunday, we start a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class. And you're certainly all invited to take part in that. They'll be in room 109. On Sunday mornings in between services. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. There's something else that popped in my head.
No, that's next week's. That's next week. Oh, yeah. So, well, of course, on Monday at, I should have it written down, 10 o'clock, right? Am I thinking right? 10:30. On Monday morning at 10:30, you are all invited to join us as we lay our dear friend, Betty Kieselhorst, to rest. And we certainly continue to extend our prayers towards the family. Any other announcements? I don't think there are any others. Pastor Russert, thank you for joining us tonight and for helping out. The Lord be with you as we continue to celebrate and fix our eyes upon the cross of Jesus.